When as they embrace the you that you let out there, God anoints that. The Bible says, I'll pour out my spirit, God says, upon all flesh. We've got something humming, have we? Yeah. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So we have to let our flesh, as it were, not our old flesh, but our redeemed flesh, we have to let that go out to the people. We have to project out of who we are in Christ. And it's upon, that's the flesh that God anoints. That's where the Holy Spirit moves. You're doing so well. God bless you. Give this girl a big hand. Praise the Lord. Man, we have had such a fun time. Well, I think we've had like 10 people, all told, give their hearts to Jesus. Some of those have been people who've just come back strong for God. They've rededicated their lives. A couple have been people who've kind of, that's been the initial big step for them. And it's so exciting what God's doing in Cooloman and in Hay and here in Narendra. I just want to honour your pastor. Can we give Pastor Trevor a great clap offering? He's amazing. He's a pastor extraordinaire. He's like a super pastor. He just doesn't have the red cape, but it's there in the spirit. The red cape. Praise the Lord. And he's all over everything, over the community and in the council and in this building and in the schools. And just to hear some of the things that he was sharing that God is doing in this community because of this church, it's absolutely incredible. And I was just blown away listening to all the stories about how God's intervening in school situations and in amongst boards and leaders and people in high places around this community. It's so exciting when a church is in the mix of the realms of council and leadership around the town. And after 40-odd years, it's like, this is Trevor's town. This is Trevor's the mayor of Narendra. Amen. Who agrees with that? Well done, Pastor Trevor. That's so exciting. In the spirit world, at least, that is the case. And I know the Holy Spirit's going to move here today for one reason only, and that's because the Word of God is true. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit at the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, or the word of the Lord. And on that law or word, he meditates day and night. He's like a tree that's planted by streams of water, that yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. That's Psalm 1. Not following the word of the Lord does come with consequences. Life just doesn't work out well. It may have some highs on it. People might find themselves coming into wealth or something like that. But there'll be great deficits in their world, deep down on the inside where it really counts. You've only got to look at the people that everyone looks up to in Hollywood and places like that. They've got everything, haven't they? They've got the whole world. They've got popularity. They've got fame. They've got more money than they could ever spend. Imagine having more money than you could spend. Don't think about it too much. Some of you already been doing that anyway, I know. Not spending money, that is. But their lives are empty. Their marriages are in shatters. They're on their third, fourth marriage, and their relationships are all blown up, and they're hollow on the inside, and they're searching, and they're engaged in all kinds of ungodly behavior because they're trying to fulfill something that only the Word of God can fulfill in their life. And the Word of God, Jesus himself, I love to quote this, it's something God spoke to me recently. Jesus himself, he's the man that God raised from the grave. He defeated death, he defeated hell, he defeated sin, He defeated everything. He defeated sickness. The Bible says all the sicknesses put into his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin would live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. And everything was placed upon him. He defeated it all, but yet he himself said these words. He said, the scriptures cannot be broken. Did you know that here today? That the word of the Lord will stand forever, the Bible says. That every word of scripture is God-breathed and inspired by God. Jesus said, not one word or not one dot, not one comma will disappear out of the word of God. You cannot change the Word of God. You can switch it off, though. Did you know that? It's the most powerful thing in all the earth. Psalm 33 says, by the Word of the Lord were the heavens made, the starry host by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the waters of the seas into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere Him, for He spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the people, but the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of His heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You know, you can't separate God from His Word. The Bible says in Psalm 138 and verse 2, it says, the Lord has magnified His word even above all His names. See, we would call that integrity. Integrity is when somebody, when their actions, what they say, your pastor's like this, by the way, where what they say is the same as what they do. And what they do is the same as what they say. When someone lives like that, you say that that's a person who's got great integrity. Well, God's integrity is so beyond anything we can imagine. It is so great that He even says that His word is above His very own name. And the Bible says that He's the name that's above every name, the name that at His name that every knee will bow and every tongue confess. Praise God. Yet He would say His word is even above His name. So His word is exactly who He is. And who He is what His word is. And what His word is who He is. And what He says in His word is what He does. There can be no separation. It's not like what we would imagine on a human level. It's way beyond that. It's a divine coupling between God and His Word that is so unbreakable. We live in such a fallen world where things fail and people do their best and they don't quite get there sometimes. And even the nicest people will let you down. And we can't imagine what true integrity is. But that's what it is in God's eyes. So if God says something in His Word, guess what? He will do it. He will do it. But that's in the spirit world. That's not where we live. We live in the physical world here. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 7, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. The kingdom of heaven, the way we attach or the way we harness the kingdom of heaven, it's right here. It's so close. It's like it's a breath away. When a person dies, they just step through a veil like that, and the old physical world is there and the new kingdom of God world is right here. It's in a twinkling of an eye. You just cross over. The kingdom of this of heaven is more real. It's more real. It's more tangible. It makes more noises. It's got brighter colours. It's just more vivid by far than the kingdom of this world. It's more real. This is almost like a fairy tale what we're living. The kingdom of heaven is the real thing. Paul puts it this way. He says, we do not set our eyes on that which is seen, but that which is unseen. For that which is seen is temporary, but that which is unseen is eternal. when we start to get this reality, when we start to get a perspective of that, the things of this world don't matter quite so much, do they? Because they're only temporary. You know, whether my business is going gangbusters or whether I'm struggling, sure, that's important. It's nice to be able to do well, and God wants you to do well, and you can believe in faith and act on His promises, and you can see prosperity come into your world with some hard work mixed in with it. Amen? But that's not the greatest thing. That's not what really, 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 really matters. What really matters is whether you're going to get into the kingdom of heaven when your turn comes, and whether you're interacting, experiencing the kingdom of heaven in your world. What gets the kingdom of heaven into our world? The primary way, the number one thing above every other thing that gets you and I attached and functioning in the kingdom of God, that sees the reality of that kingdom of God, the truth of God's word, the answers to His promises, whether it be healing or financial breakthrough or peace in your heart or freedom from guilt or whatever it might be. The thing that makes that happen is faith. When you believe in the kingdom of God, it begins to take place in your life. Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're in a meeting in New Zealand, in Tauranga, a few weeks ago. Only a month ago it was. And this lady who was up the front who got prayed for, she had a crook hip. She was booked in for a hip operation. She's only in her 50s. She's limping and complaining and in all kinds of pain. I prayed for her, the Holy Ghost hit her, and she walked across to the other side, limping as she was already. She got to the other side and she was almost not limping. She gets halfway back and she's walking normally. By the time she gets halfway, she's starting to run, and she ran and jumped and leaped and carried on and ran up and down onto the stage and didn't do cartwheels, but almost. And the whole crowd went crazy. Everybody started praising God because they all knew this lady. She's a member of the church. And then straight off the back of that, the pastor said to me, he said, come and pray for this woman up the back. She's a visitor. And this was a lady in a wheelchair. And the pastor told me, and she said her words were the same. He said, she's riddled with cancer. She's given up to die. The doctors have given her up to die. Her son and daughter-in-law are there with her. And I looked at her, and I got a bit mean on the inside in a nice kind of a way. And I said to her, dear woman, you need to get your eyes off yourself right now, and you need to begin to praise God. Because the Bible, the Word, says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. And I looked at her, and then I yelled out to this lady who just finished all her running around up the front and things had felt settled back down. I said to her, just test yourself again. And off she ran. She just didn't need any introduction whatsoever. She was ready to go. And off she goes running, and everybody clapped her again and cheered for her. And I said to this lady in the wheelchair, I said, dear woman, you're oppressed. You're afflicted. We know that. You know that. We can all see that. Why don't you praise God for what He's just done for this other dear woman up the front? And she lifted her hand and she began to praise the Lord. And then after she did that, I prayed and broke the power of cancer in the name of Jesus. And I drove it off her life in Jesus' name. And I said to her son and daughter-in-law, and I said, now when you get home, don't go there, now, how are you doing, you poor thing, is there something? I said, don't do that. I said, that'll put her in the grave. I said, just be a bit firm with her and say, come on, you need to praise God. Come on, you need to start meditating on the Word. Come on, you need to believe. God's going to set you free. Let's lock in and believe. And they took that on. They took that on. God bless them. They were humble enough to be able to take that on. And anyhow, they wheeled her out in the wheelchair. There was no change. And then 1 week later, or 2 weeks later actually, the pastor sent me this text. I was ministering in one of your churches down in Cranbourne, near Melbourne, on my way to a plant in Lilydale on a Sunday morning, and my text goes off in my phone, and it's the pastor of the church in New Zealand, and he says, these are the exact words, he says, hey mate, we had Vicky, in brackets, the lady riddled with cancer that you prayed for in the wheelchair,
And the doctors said, she is cancer free, declared healed in Jesus' name. Isn't that amazing? Cancer is nothing for Jesus. We had another man just was on the phone to me this last week from 3 weekends ago when I was in Ballarat. Same thing. He had these big cancer growths on his brain and the doctors can't find them now. Praise the Lord. 1 week later, the doctors can't find them. But why? Because he believed. And this other dear woman, she chose to align herself with the Word of God. Because the Word of God actually works. It can't be broken. It's so exciting. Jesus said, he said, you will lay your hands on the sick and they shall. Not they might, not some do and some don't. No, my Bible doesn't say that. I don't know if yours does, but mine doesn't. It says they shall recover. They shall recover. Is anybody with me here today? See, that's faith. You say, well, what if? Well, what if? One man said to me in a meeting here, it happens quite a lot, a few weeks ago, he said, well, what do you say to people who don't get healed? I say, well, what does the Bible say? And you could hear the crickets. I said, the Bible doesn't say anything. There's not a word right through from one end to the other. Nothing. And I said, well, I'm not going to make a doctrine about something that the Bible's silent on, am I? I just keep believing, praise God. Amen? And the worst thing that could happen is you die and go to heaven, is what I told one lady in our church who's always complaining about everything. That's true too, isn't it? Come on, we need to get a perspective that God has on this. But that's not going to happen to anybody here. People are going to be healed. We have never had a meeting yet since we've been running these meetings for 6-7 years now where people haven't been healed. I said the same thing to the guys yesterday at Coolerman. And Trevor could tell you where this woman came up. She had a broken shoulder, wasn't it? A broken shoulder. Her arm's in a sling. She's, you know, can't move her hand. And she's, power of God hit her. And she's waving. I wanted her to take her arm out of the sling, but she said, the doctor said, I'm not allowed to. So I couldn't argue with that. I was tempted, but I let her go. But she was doing everything she possibly could without taking her arm out of the sling and smile from ear to ear. She's pain free. Her arm's set free. Praise God. Another man who had, in that same minute, he had pain all over his body. That slightly heavier built guy. He had pain all through his back and his shoulders, and he was in such a bad way. He'd had it for years. It had affected him. He couldn't do his work properly. And the Holy Spirit hit him, and he couldn't believe it. He's touching his toes. He's moving around. He's flexing his back. He said, there's no pain anywhere at all. It's completely gone in Jesus' name. It just happens everywhere. God's ready to... People are going to be healed even in your seats here today. People are going to be healed even in your seats. But you just got to believe. You see, faith is simply just believing. And it does a war with your brain. That's why Jesus said, unless you've got faith like that of a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven, or you will not see the kingdom of heaven. See, children don't think about it. They just believe from the heart. That's all. And every adult in this room is capable of doing this here today. And you've all got faith, otherwise you wouldn't be here. You'd be sitting at home doing something else. Every person in here has got faith. That's why you're here. All you need to do is turn off your preconceived ideas, if some of you have got those. And just believe. Just take God's word. Just literally as it is written. Not your understanding. Because it says in Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's why children are able to get this. Is this making sense to people here today? Is this helping someone here today? Praise God, it's helping me.